at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, everybody, here we go. Hour two of the Home Improvement Show. We've got 97.1 listeners jumping in with us here. So excited about that. Let's double our listening audience there and see if we can get maybe double the calls in at the same time. So any thoughts, any questions, anything you have going on, feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. So we've had some great conversations so far in the first hour. And we did have somebody call in during the break that was talking about that power washing the home. Said they had a decent-sized home, and it only cost them a couple hundred dollars. And really, the pricing on something like that can vary so much depending on the type of company, what they do, how much they do. It's when we do all this kind of home maintenance, remodeling work, when you look at the different types of companies out there, from a handyman all the way through contracting, general contractors, to full service remodeling companies like Mosby Building Arts, you're going to get a lot of different variations in that by how professional they are, how they service. But the big thing to remember with power washing is really, how do they do it? How knowledgeable on that are they? Have they really studied? Have they really learned? And do they really understand? Because I get to hear all the horror stories all the time from everybody out there. And it's kind of a part of what I do is, as I go around and we talk about how to power wash a home or how to remodel a bathroom or should I keep the tub for resale value, and all these different conversations rely a lot on what you've learned, your experience, and your understanding of all these different things. So when you go to power wash, especially when you have vinyl siding, you got to really watch. So my thing would be, have a good conversation with the person about how they do it and say, okay, well, here, you know, just can you explain your system to me? How do you go about power washing a home? And see if they say anything like, well, yes, there is a system to it, because we have to be careful and we have to make sure that we power wash from one direction to the other, so we're going over the laps of the siding and not against the laps of the siding. And we take particular care around your windows and your doors, because those are high probability areas of, if something's not installed correctly behind the siding, you could get some water leaks in that. So we take special care when we get to the windows, when we get to the doors, we back off a little bit and we make sure it's more of a rinse in the area where water could infiltrate. Because I've actually seen houses where they had to repair the hardwood flooring in front of the front door because somebody power washed the house, and they power washed the front door, and they did it so hard, they just blew in water right underneath the weather stripping at the bottom of the door. And when you get to the door, you got to really kind of go top down, and you want to back off, and you want to make it more of a rinse, not so much of a hard power. And that might be a spot where you grab a rag and a cleaner, and you kind of maybe wipe some stuff on the door, because you get that close, you're 8 inches off that door, you can blow that water right around the weather stripping and soak the inside of the house. I've seen it before. So people that don't have that knowledge and that understanding might gain that knowledge and understanding the hard way by damaging someone's home and really not knowing. So again, what I always try and advise is ask good open-ended questions and let people answer about what they do, what they know, and let them kind of say that. So just ask things like, what's your system? How do you do it? Is there anything else I should be concerned about when you do this? Is there anything else we should think about? And just let them talk about what they do. And then you'll get a really good feeling as to if they know or they don't know exactly what should be done or not. You'll just get that gut feeling, and that gut feeling in your person is 90% correct. When you get that feeling, you just know something's not right. And I can also tell you from personal experience of having somebody looking at performing work on my house and on a house I owned, my last house I owned before the house I'm in now, we had a hailstorm. We had some hail damage, and people came around, just like Paul was talking about. People are coming around to my house, and they're saying, hey, we should inspect your roof. We should do this. Well, I had the same thing. So I started talking to some of these people because I was really interested just to see, well, what are they doing and how much do they really know? And are they really good at what they're doing or not? Are they really fair at what they're doing or not? And in my experience at that level was the same as a lot of the clients that I talk to on a daily basis. Is I had two, three people look at my roof. One of them told me it was my lucky day because they were giving away free ridge vent, but the cost of that roof was the same as the last guy that was charging me for the ridge vent. So it just brings up the question, okay, how is that? I had another person on with the siding that I asked him a question. I said, well, I had somebody out here and they told me that it would be a good idea to install like a house wrap to keep water out of the house behind the siding. And that person literally looked at me and said, oh, yeah, you don't need to do that. That water doesn't get behind that siding. When we put that J channel and it'll guide that water, there's no water getting behind the siding. I'm literally who I am and do what I do. And I know for a fact, 100%, that water gets behind vinyl siding. It just does. It's that simple. So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, wow. They had a different opinion on that. And then we went our separate ways. But so it was an eye-opening experience to me with all these people coming around my house and wanting to look at it and wanting to do these repairs and everything, and me listening to what the general public has to hear out there. It was very eye-opening to me because I'm like, wow. It was because I do what I do. I do it. When I actually ended up replacing my own siding myself where I had hail damage on that house. So I know what I'm doing. And so I'd heard the stories in the past, but it was very eye-opening to me hearing it firsthand and going, companies, you know, people really do that? And people really tell you that? And having someone say that, yeah, water doesn't get behind vinyl siding, having someone slap their hand on my countertop and tell me how lucky I am that I'm getting free ridge vent is just, that's, you just got to be careful and ask those questions and see what their replies are and let them answer. And you'll understand when you'll have that feeling and that knowledge when they know what they're talking about and you'll feel it and you'll know it. And that's what you're looking for. I truly believe so. And if you're looking for anything else, I think we're going to get into our first break here of this hour, but we've got a ton of time left, three full segments for you. So don't forget, we're here. We can answer any questions, anything you got. 314-436-7900. Get you right to me. Maybe we'll get some questions in the next segment, but I've got plenty of stuff for you. So don't touch that dial. Don't go anywhere. We'll have a lot coming up next.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, St. Louis, Rich Orris here, KMOX Home Improvement Show. Anything you got going on around your house, we've got it for you here today. Any, maybe even comments, concerns, maybe some suggestions for getting prepared for the holidays, getting your house ready. We're here. We've got plenty of time for everybody. 314-436-7900. Now we've had a couple of things happen in the past week, and one extreme cold. Boy, did it get cold for a couple of days there. And then two, over the weekend, that surprise first snow that came in, we got our first snow of the year. It really didn't hesitate this year to get in and hit us. So does make me question. They are kind of saying maybe we're going to have more snow than normal this winter. So I'm definitely curious to see how that pans out, how that plays out over the course of the winter. But one thing to definitely kind of consider when it snows, and it's a little bit of a controversial thing, I think, with should you shovel your concrete even if you don't plan to use it. So if you're just staying at home during this bad weather, if you've stocked up from the store and you know it's going to snow, and maybe that snow's there for 3, 4, 5 days before it all finally melts away, and you know you're going nowhere, what would the reasons be to go ahead and shovel that driveway or that sidewalk even though you have no intentions of using it whatsoever? And maybe if you're like me, maybe you do everything over email with your bills, with all the important things that you get in the mail. And so maybe you don't even really feel the need to check your mail for those 3, 4, 5 days. You can get it all at the end of that because it's just a bunch of junk coming in, and all the primary things that you don't want to miss shows up on emails, and you're not even planning on walking on your sidewalk. Well, why would you do that? Why would you need to go ahead and shovel? And I tell you, the first and the most main is preventing damage to that concrete. So basically, with our freeze-thaw cycles that we have here in St. Louis, what can happen to that snow sitting on your driveway? If it snows like 4 inches and it takes 4 days to melt away, basically every day it's getting warm enough to start to melt that snow. So underneath that snow, it's unfreezing. There's water running, and that is getting into the pores of your concrete. And then at night it freezes, and we all know what happens to water when it freezes. You take an aluminum soda can, you put it in the freezer, it explodes because the liquid will expand. And that is what happens to that concrete. That's why we get those spalling marks in our concrete around the rocks in the aggregate inside that concrete surface, because you've got that top coating on top, and when all that gets in there and the water gets around that rock, it freezes, it expands, it applies pressure until it finally breaks off some of that concrete. So if you don't shovel and that happens 4 times, that's putting all that pressure and everything on that concrete. So it's a good idea for that. The other is really the de-icer impact that can happen as far as different products that mix with that snow that get thrown up onto your concrete while other cars drive by. Those de-icers can damage that concrete as well. So removing all that snow kind of reduces the need for those chemicals and gets that stuff away and washed off. So you're truly limiting the damage and the impact on that concrete by having that shoveled, even if you don't plan on using it. A lot of other things that can happen too is stains in your concrete. So maybe there's dirt, road salt, there's leaves and different things underneath that snow, and it's locking that stuff in, and it's really the exposure to that, it can really lock those stains in to that concrete by not removing that snow. Preventing mold, mildew, algae growth. We've been talking about a lot of that with the siding, a lot of that with the roof. Well, it happens on the concrete. So for me, I power wash. I finally bought my own power washer. I've always had one that I used in the field with the job that I had. And so I finally bought one for myself a few years back and just started doing all my own power washing. I kind of like that it's satisfying when you're doing that driveway and you're just seeing that algae come off and clean up, and it is a satisfying thing as you see that stuff get clean. Well, having that moisture in that concrete promotes all that stuff from growing later on. After once that snow melts, you'll get more of it because of that. So and that also, it's not just on concrete. It's not just that it looks bad or that it's unsightly, but it can make the surfaces very slippery even once that thaws and it's just wet. And if you have the algae on that, it's definitely a danger there. So there's safety concerns with that. Another reason that you might want to go ahead and shovel is you're not planning on using your concrete, but what if there's an unexpected usage? What if something happened and the ambulance needed to show up and help someone and they would have a clear path to the front door, or mail carriers, other guests show up, anything that might happen? Keeping that clear is just safety for them, for slips, falls, all of that. Or if something happened and then you did need to leave, your driveway would be clear for you. So there could be some unexpected usages there that you think you're not going to do and you end up needing them. So excessive weight, how much does it snow? I don't know that very often we have a lot of that in St. Louis, but certainly you heard about the buildings with roofs bowing in and collapsing up in Erie, Pennsylvania, and all the snow they've been getting up around those parts. That snow is heavy, so excessive weight on that driveway is another good reason to keep that clear and just not have that on your driveway compacting down and possibly sinking that driveway into the ground any more than it needs to. So there's a lot of reasons like that to consider going ahead and having that shoveled and ready to go and every time that it snows, and not just leaving that snow on your concrete. So we got a lot more for you. We got a lot to come. We got plenty of time for you as well. Two more segments coming up. So we're going to take our middle hour break here, but anything you got going, don't forget, you can find me right here, 314-436-7900. We'll have more to come. Stay tuned.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, guys, we're back. Having a great time here today. Don't forget, right now, you can get anything in you need, any questions you may have, 314-436-7900. And so we were kind of going over the things that have taken place in the past week with the first snow, the extreme cold weather. So I did want to kind of finish up with the snow removal and some tips on effective snow removal. So what you want to do, especially with your shovels, is use either a plastic or a rubber edge shovel to avoid any damage, scratching, or chipping of that concrete surface. So the metal blade ones can really knock down that surface and help cause those spalling marks to come out later. So removing the snow early before it has a chance to kind of compact or to refreeze. And definitely one of my things that I always try and do too is not to drive over it. If you've ever gotten a few couple inches of snow and you didn't have time to shovel yet and you had to go somewhere and you drive over that snow and then you pull back in, then you go to try and shovel later, you'll be trying to get those tire marks off that frozen from that concrete for 2 days instead of just being able to shovel that snow right off. So definitely before it can compact or refreeze and or before you drive a vehicle over it, get that snow off there. And think about sweeping or blowing off lighter snows or as it happens and as it's coming down, using a blower to blow the snow off is really easy on a lighter type snow. And I can tell you too that I just this year, I've always had a really good gas blower that really blows really good and hard. So it does, it's harder to start. It's harder to get working in the winter, but it works really, really great. And about 10 years or so ago, I did try to buy a battery operated blower and see how it would work. And it just wasn't great. The battery didn't last long. Well, this year I finally went in and my gas weed eater finally broke. I had it for a really, really long time. And I did test out and I invested in some battery operated equipment, weed eater and blower. And I'll tell you that blower, it's amazing how far they've come in the past 10 years and how well those batteries last and work and how hard they blow now. So it blows just as hard as that gas blower did. And that battery lasts really, really well. So that's a lot easier in the winter. You want to keep that battery inside the house in the winter, but I can bring it out, plug that battery in, blow off that driveway in minutes. And then the last thing, remember to just don't use harsh chemical de-icers. Opt for some easy, maybe pet safe, calcium, magnesium, that type of de-icers. If you're going to put a de-icer on there, go with something like that. So, hey, we got Tom on the line called in. Let's see what's going on with Tom. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, I was going to ask you, I got fleas, but I'm starting to get rid of them. A guy told me to pour vinegar down with zinc or bleach. But I've been pouring that down, but I don't want to pour too much. I'm afraid I might break that pipe or something. But how do you get rid of them fleas? I got carpet. What's the best thing to do? You see them once in a while. They get in your trash cans, and that's where they live.
Yeah. Yeah, so fleas are definitely really, really hard, and they are invasive once you start getting them. And they're very invasive, and they will start to take over. I do not have like a homemade remedy or anything like that that I know of that is that is effective for fleas. I know for like the gnats and the stuff we were talking about, doing some of those homemade remedies in the sink to kind of collect them, catch them, kill them off. But fleas are a whole nother breed. And I would honestly say find a really good pest control company. I use Holper's Pest Control. They do really good. They'll know and understand how to get rid of fleas because they are invasive. Once they start going, they're going to be hard to stop.
Oh, so if you left the house and tried to bomb it, they say, that wouldn't do no good either, probably.
Well, I mean, it may. I'm sure there's some sprays.
But there ain't no way of getting rid of them, really.
Well, there is. I mean, they can walk you through a path on how to get rid of them, and I'm sure there's products out there on the shelf that bug sprays and things that, that say they will kill fleas. And a bomb-type system might be the best bet because it's not like spraying the perimeter. Like when you bug spray the perimeter of a room, you're trying to get the bugs to cross a path where they're trying to get in and out of the house. But fleas can be in the center of the room. And they can be in the carpet just kind of anywhere, and they're not necessarily going to the edge of that carpet. So, yes, some type of bomb where it gets in the air, it goes everywhere, lands down, might be the best way to take care of fleas.
Oh, they're no good to spray that carpet either.
Yeah.
They'd probably get underneath there.
But, yeah, I would call either whoever you use for pest control, or you can try Hulper's Animal and Pest Solutions, and I know they could definitely help you out.
Oh, I don't know their number, but I could call somebody, I guess.
Yeah, yep. If you look up Hulper's online, it'll come up too pretty easily. I don't have their phone number right in front of me right away, but that's who I've used in the past for personally. That's who I had termite treatment done on my house. From them, so I do have a vested interest, personal experience from them, and I'll tell you one of the reasons, the main reasons I really, really liked what Hulper's did for my termite treatment was and it's a level of service thing, so they call me every year for my reinspection, and they say, "Hey, Rich, it's time for your reinspection." Now, there is, of course, a fee to it every year, and part of maintaining the warranty on a termite treatment is that company wants to come back and reinspect your house every year. So most companies say, "Yep, just call us and have us reinspect it next year." Well, if you forget, you lose your warranty. So at Hulper's, they contact me. They'll send me an email. They'll send me information. They'll call me and say, "All right, we're ready. When can we come out?" And then I'll say, "Yep, that'll do it." And then we pick the date, and then they do it. They charge my credit card, and it's all said and done. And I'm maintaining that warranty, but they're helping me be responsible in order to maintain that warranty, which leads me to believe they want to maintain that warranty. They want to support me and make sure I got a good product and that everything's working and keeping up with it. So that's why I like them so much and how they do that. I know a lot of other places, they rely on you, and I've talked to other people that are like, "Yeah, I lost my warranty because I missed my inspection date."
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good reasons to go to somebody that will help support you like that.
Okay, I'll check with them, see what they'd say.
Yeah.
I don't have their number. Do you have it?
I don't have it on me, but I know if you Google
I'll check it out. I'll see what I can get.
Animal and Pest
Control. If not them, I'll get somebody else.
Yeah. Yep.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. When you get the fleas, I really say
you just can't get rid of the damn thing.
Go to the professionals.
They calm down now since I've been working with it.
Yeah.
So see, I'm working where I spray the outside of the windows and all that. Spray a little bit, you know, get crickets too and all that other stuff, but that's okay.
Yep. All right,
I'll
Tom.
I'll try my damnedest to get rid of that.
Yeah.
I'll work with it as much as I can.
Yep. Good luck. Appreciate the call, buddy, and I'll tell you, I'll tell all you guys a little personal story too with fleas. As far as, so years ago, a lot of years ago, working with my father's company, and we did a lot of work in St. Louis City, older buildings, older homes. We did a lot of apartment maintenance, and occasionally we would have to board up either apartments or buildings. When they got condemned or had big enough issues that they were getting condemned, we would board them up. And so I went, I got sent out, went to a house to board this house up in St. Louis City. And I kind of, of course, you got to inspect the house. You can't just throw boards, lock everything in. So basically, as I go around, I board everything up. When I get to the last opening, I do a final walkabout on every level of the whole building. I make sure that building is completely cleared out. I walk out. I board up the last door. I go. I get in my truck. I drive up to the municipal building up the way in the neighborhood. I explain to them, yep, here's what we did. This one's boarded up. They know they can put their sticker on it or whatever. And as I'm driving home, I kind of see something like a little bug in the corner of my eye, like something jumping. Well, I got fleas on me inside that building. And let me tell you, then that's where the experience comes of trying to get them out of my truck. Oh my gosh. It was like the Seinfeld episode. I was almost ready to trade that truck in for a different vehicle and just be like, yeah, I don't know. It's fine. Take it. Get it out of here. I bombed that truck like three times. And every time I would come home, I would have to strip down in the garage, bag up everything, tie it in a trash bag and leave it there for days to make sure these things die off, and go straight in and shower and all that, not to get these things in my house. It took me took days to get these things out of my truck, even like letting off a bomb inside my truck. It was an absolute horrid experience. So the minute you see fleas in the house, I would get to a professional as fast as you can and make sure that you're not letting it go too far and let them really invade and take over. So definitely do that for yourself. So, hey, we got one segment left coming up here. If you got anything else going on, like Tom did, feel free, call in, let me know. We'll have some time in the last segment, 314-436-7900. Don't go nowhere. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, everybody, we're back. Final segment of a great, great day, great couple hours. And lucky enough, we've got Ruth calling in on the line. I think she's got some advice for Tom. Ruth, what do you got going on?
Well, I used to have a lot of cats. Occasionally, when we get out, they come home with fleas. And this is how I got rid of them. You take a table lamp, you put it on the floor of the living room, you put a shallow pan of soapy water, like a pie pan, and they gravitate to the light. They jump in the water. The next morning, you change the water. You do this until there's no more fleas in the pan, and then you might want to do it a couple extra days. But it gets rid of them. And it doesn't cost a thing.
Yeah, wow, that's really cool. I think that's doing that quickly is, I think, the key to, because I think the problem that I had in my truck is,
I wouldn't know how to do a truck.
Well, that might have helped or something similar, because you're kind of under the seat. There's so many different layers. Like, I clean the seat, I clean the floor, but I wasn't really under the seat. So it's hard to get them all. And then you got to make sure you get, like, if they've been there too long, the eggs, and they reproduce, and that's the whole invasive
thing. I wouldn't know about that, but I know that it does work in the house.
But yeah, that's a really good idea, because if you get to it right away, you get to them before they do all that, and you get them trapped in there. That's a great idea. I appreciate the call, Ruth. Yeah, that's really awesome. So, yeah, and I think I know getting to it quickly is a big deal, so they're not laying eggs, and then you're kind of having them reproduce, and you get rid of one layer, but the next layer comes, and they keep kind of happening. And that's a pretty cool idea. Now, something else I did want to make sure I try and touch on to warn everybody, because we talked a lot about the snow removal and the first snow that we had, But the extreme cold weather, and we've probably been hearing about this a little bit on the news too, is we're into winter now, and December, January, February are the deadliest months of the year for carbon monoxide poisoning in a home. So, and it really, if you think about it, it kind of makes a lot of sense because it's winter, it's cold. That's going to be January, February is going to be the coldest months of the year. People are losing heat. They're having trouble paying their bills. They go to these alternative options for heat to try and heat the house, save money, that sort of thing. So you get unvented gas heaters, kerosene space heaters. I've even heard of people just turning on the oven, and that caused a carbon monoxide problem, just trying to stay warm in the coldest part of winter. So definitely just be careful in how you do that. Don't be ashamed to ask for help in order to keep your heat going, in order to stay safe. Because that's how and where these problems occur so much. Wood-burning fireplaces, camping stoves, if you power outages, there's always, whenever there's a power outages, there's this sudden spike in issues and people getting sick and deaths from carbon monoxide. Because, again, everybody's going to these different ways, lanterns, anything they can do to try and produce some heat. And it's just not always the safest way to heat your home. So, and one of the biggest things in being safe from carbon monoxide is to really understand the symptoms. So when they talk about it being this silent killer, it doesn't have a smell. There's no real sense that it's there. So the only way that's really good to tell is just to understand the symptoms and what happens when carbon monoxide is in the home, what happens to people, pets, things personally. So when there is carbon monoxide poisoning getting to you, the symptoms are dizziness, headaches, nausea, if you start vomiting, chest pain sometimes. And when you go to bed, if you're feeling anything like that, that's where the problem comes in, because then you really may never know that you're even experiencing these symptoms worse. And that's just catastrophic right there. So make sure that you understand that. Make sure you have your furnaces and everything inspected so that you know they're in good condition and they're working. Don't use any generators indoors. That's another one. When you're trying to run a generator to get some power during an outage, don't even have it in the garage. Put it outside and have it out there. Get it at least 20 feet from your home is really what they recommend with generators. Know to call the authorities. Know to call 911 if you think, if you have an alarm go off, or if you just have symptoms or even suspect that you have a carbon monoxide leak. The fire department will show up. They will run their testers, and they will make sure that it's okay and it's safe for right then. So make sure to do that. If you have any idea, just make sure to go ahead and call. Don't worry about it. Don't be ashamed. This is what they're there for, and they want to help you. So just like I want to help you every Saturday like this, I had a great time. I appreciate all the calls and everything. Remember, be good to yourselves. Be good to your homes. Talk to everybody next week.